This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. It's Friday, the 30th of September. This is your Friday recap of all the political murmurings this week. With general elections around the corner, talk of seat allocations and which candidates will run where is rife. PKR President Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim recently signaled that he won't be defending his seat in Port Dickson and may instead aim for a seat held by defectors from Pakatan Harapan.
Meanwhile, rumours have been swirling about the Klang parliamentary seat, which is currently held by three-term MP Charles Santiago. Santiago has, of course, refuted reports that he will vacate his seat. And yesterday, the DAP Secretary General Anthony Lok said that the candidate list has not been finalised at this stage. The Star cites sources saying that a seat swap has been almost concluded with Sri Kembangan State Assembly Yen Yong. On the other side of the aisle, the love triangle between PAS, UMNO and Bersatu remains unresolved.
And this is, of course, following last week's rhetorical flare-up between Ismail Sabri and Muhyiddin Yassin. PAS has indicated that they will decide next week on which team to side with during GE15. So what are the key takeaways from all these political developments? What can we read from the noise? Joining us for analysis on this is Dr. Oh Isan, Principal Advisor at the Pacific Research Center. Isan, good morning. Thanks, as always, for joining us. I'd like to start with news coming out from PKR. Anwar Ibrahim has hinted that he will likely contest one of the seats held by former Pakatan Harapan members that defected during the Sheraton move. What seats do you think are in his crosshairs and where do you think he has the best chances of winning?
Well, of course, there are a total of, let's say, a dozen or so of these MPs who defected from mainly his PKR party to for the ruling coalition, right? So there will be a number of these seats whereby you have, shall we say, a multiracial setup with perhaps a slight Malay majority. And we are looking at, for example, his old party arch rival, Asmin Ali, I think it's Gombak. And then perhaps Zuraida, that is, I think, Pandan, if I'm not mistaken. So all these seats, which are, shall we say, urban or semi-urban with a multiracial setup, similar to that of Port Dickson, I think would be prime targets for Anwar to contest if he were to switch to one of those seats. Yeah.
Okay, because earlier this month, Pakatan Harapan said that seat allocations have been concluded for the state elections for 3 to 4 states. So why? Which states are seeing heavy negotiations between Pakatan Harapan component parties and why? And I mean, can they say this because do we even know, for example, whether Muda is part of this coalition?
Well, there are a number of states. I mean, for example, even in where Anwar's Port Dickson is, namely in Negeri Sembilan and so on. I'm sure, you know, because Bersatu left the coalition, so they are the Bersatu seats. But then, well, Bersatu seats are usually Malay majority with not quite of the multiracial setup as I mentioned just now. So those, you know, like if Muda were to come into a coalition, they would say, okay, fine, you can take those seats. Mm. But I think Muda would be more interested in similar seats as PKR because, well, Muda thrives, again, on those multiracial seats with a slight Malay majority. Yeah.
But at this stage, do we know what the prospects for Muda and there's also Parti Socialist Malaysia that have asked to be included in the PH grouping for GE15. Do you think that they will ultimately be brought under that umbrella?
Well, it depends to a large extent on, again, PKR. It would appear that Amana and also DAP, they are willing to entertain and even to some extent use some of their seats, let's say to Muda and maybe even to this Parti Socialist. But again, within PKR, I think there's a lot of resistance to this. And ironically, I think usually there's a lot of power struggle within PKR, right? But on this particular subject, I think there's somewhat of a consensus within PKR that they are unwilling to yield some seats to this potential new component parties to Pakatan Harapan here. Yeah.
So, Isan, does this mean that it's unlikely that MUDA will be part of the PH coalition then?
Well, we still have some time for them to negotiate. So I would not, you know, definitively say no. But again, the main obstacle, the main resistance comes from the PKR. Yeah.
And can I look across the aisle? Because we do read headlines about PAS seemingly torn between UMNO and Bersatu, not quite willing to give up ties with either party. They've said that they will decide by next week on whom they wish to side with. What do you think will factor into their calculations?
I think PAS would very much like to remain a part of a ruling coalition so that they could continue to push for their primarily theocratic or religious agenda. They might not want to be like the driving force at this point within a ruling coalition, but at least part of a ruling coalition so that, you know, you have the governmental resources, you have the governmental authority to push your shall we say, theocratic agenda. So at this point in time, I think they view UMNO as the most likely party to be part of a ruling coalition or even driving such a coalition. So, to put it bluntly, rather opportunistically, PAS would like to align themselves once again with UMNO instead of Bersatu.
So does this mean it's the demise of Perikatan Nasional then, if PAS pulls out of this coalition?
Well, you see, if we were having this conversation, let's say, a year ago, we would say, well, is this the demise of Muafakat Nasional, namely the coalition between PAS and UMNO, right?
Yeah.
So it's a very fast-changing political landscape and a fragmented one at that. So, yes, today, let's say PAS suddenly is reversing gear and trying to be cozying up to UMNO again. But we really don't know, let's say, a few months down the line, and, let's say Bersatu's stars are rising again, PAS, I think, would similarly switch gear again. So it really depends, yeah.
Mm. And I want to ask about UMNO, because just 2 days ago, we had a breakfast grill with UMNO youth chief, Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki, where he said that 90% of the seats within UMNO, or at least Barisan Nasional, have been agreed upon. Is it so smooth sailing for them in terms of who gets what seats? Because we know that, for example, Rembau seats, which is KJ's seat, is that confirmed that he won't be running there, for example?
Well, 90%, right? So there are still 10% to room to wiggle, number one. So primarily, it's within UMNO itself, you know, deciding which seat would go to whom, even to some of these senior leaders, such as you mentioned, KJ, and so on. But in terms of the other component parties of Barisan Nasional, I think UMNO would make those decisions for them, as UMNO did for the past many decades. Now, within UMNO itself, I think the main faction, namely that headed by the party president Zahid Hamidi, remains very strong, and in a sense, they'll be in a position to decide who is running in what seats, and in terms of UMNO candidates are concerned here.
Very quickly, Isan, we've got about 30 seconds. When do you think GE15 is going to be called? What's your sense of it this week? Since things change from week to week, when do you think we'll see the elections?
Well, the first possibility would indeed be November, because it's before the floods and after the budget. If not, it will be after Chinese New Year. And if not, it will be after Ramadan and Raya, then towards the very end of the parliamentary term.
Possibilities abound. Isan, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Dr. Oh Isan, Principal Advisor of the Pacific Research Center, commenting on some of the political developments of the week.
Yeah, and all we can say when it comes to general elections is akan datang.
Akan datang. But of course, October will be a pivotal month, and next week we'll see the budget tabling. 7:29 in the morning, we're heading into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. And after that, we come back with the discussion on the four-day work week and whether the pilot program can translate into a wider rollout. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.